Who will stand against our King? No one can. No one will. Oh, oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh,
this is the month of absolute recovery. And in this month, you shall recover all. Amen. And I also want to thank God for the life of the choir. Let's clap our hands for the choir. Powerful ministration. After that ministration, you can go home, drink water, and sleep. Praise be to God. We want to continue this morning with our series on recovery. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 8. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 8. And then we will look at verse 18 and verse 19. Praise be to God. I'm talking to you on the theme, anointed to recover all. Shout, I am anointed to recover all. The Bible said, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and burnt it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city and there it was, burnt with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Verse 18 and verse 19. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything they had taken from them. David recovered all. If I was you, and I'm very prophetic, I'll just put my name. Daniel recovered all. You can go ahead and put your name there. You see, you are not sure. Go ahead and put your name there. Praise be to God. Anointed to recover all. Hallelujah. This is one popular account in the scriptures that points to the fact that no matter what you have lost to the devil, whether it be opportunities, whether it be years, whether it be your health, whether it be properties, whether it be special graces or talent, it is possible to recover all. It does not matter how long the enemy has in his custody what belongs to you. By your right in God, by your privilege in God, you can recover all. And in this month and in this prophetic season, there shall be a total return of everything the devil, I don't know who I'm here to talk to. In this time, there shall be a total return of everything, everything, everything that the devil has stolen out of your life. For God has said in Joel chapter 2, verse 25 and verse 26, He said, I shall restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. I shall restore to you the years that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm has eaten. Then verse 26, after you are restored, He said, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Then you shall praise the name of the Lord who has dealt wondrously with you. Then He said, my people shall never be ashamed. In the season you are restored, plenty is given to you. In the season you are restored, satisfaction becomes your portion. In the season you are restored, shame is taken out of your life. I feel like prophesying upon your destiny that in this season there's a release of plenty in your life. I said there's a release of satisfaction in your life. We declare in this season shame is over in your life. So shall it be in your life. I said so shall it be. Clap your hands and shout, I receive it. Come on, shout, I receive it. Hallelujah. The scripture we read predominantly speaks about David. David, in his journey of life to be appointed as king over Israel, was first of all anointed by Samuel the priest or the prophet. Hear me carefully. It is very important for you to know that God will not appoint you in life unless He has anointed you first. Because anointing is necessary to set you in your place of purpose. I take it again. Anointing is necessary to set you in your place of what? What is purpose? Purpose is the reason for which you are born or you were born. Purpose is the reason for your existence. And the one to define your purpose is God. And anytime God anoints you, His anointing helps you to discover your purpose. So the anointing sets you in your purpose. But in the day that God will appoint you, He will set you in your assignment. Praise be to God. The anointing sets you where? In your purpose. But your appointment set you in your assignment. The difference between your purpose and your assignment. Like in the case of David, when the anointing came upon him, his purpose was redefined. His purpose was to kill giants. His purpose is to compose songs that can cast out demons, even demons of depression, demons of insanity. His purpose was for him to mentor people whose destiny are shattered. But his assignment was for him to be in the high place in the land, even to become the king of Israel. So the anointing set you in your purpose, but your appointment set you in your assignment. Praise be to God. So when God rejected Saul as king over Israel, God instructed Samuel the prophet. He said, fill your horn with oil and go to the house of Jesse. For I have provided for myself a king among the sons of Jesse. So the prophet filled his horn, got to the house of Jesse. Then the Bible said, by the guidance of the Spirit of God, the oil located the head of David. One thing I want you to understand is that anointing does not fall on the wrong head. Listen, once you deserve the anointing, it comes upon you. And this morning, the anointing will not miss you. I said it will not miss your career. The anointing will fall on your head in the name of Jesus. Anointing was necessary in the life of David to equip him to deal with the present day problem that confronted Israel in those days. There was something, a gigantic problem that was looming over the nation of Israel. And someone must carry fresh anointing to deal with that problem. Anytime God will deal with problems, he must release fresh anointing. And I see God putting fresh anointing on your life. Every yoke shall break. Every stubborn problem shall be dealt with. I don't care the problem the enemy puts in your life. There is too much power in the anointing of God. Every problem shall come down. Every problem shall be rolled away. The problem of poverty shall go. The problem of barrenness shall be destroyed. The problem of sickness shall be broken. It said by the lifting of the oil, every yoke shall be, oh I feel it, every yoke shall be broken and the burden shall be lifted. Put your right hand on your head. Shout, I receive fresh oil. Come on, shout, I receive fresh oil. Clap your hands and shout, I receive fresh oil. Hallelujah. Without the anointing, no individual, no family, no nation will be well equipped to deal with the issues that confront humanity. Anointing is also necessary to make you shine in this world of darkness. I'm telling you, it takes anointing for you to keep shining. The darkness in this world is looking for every chance to dim your light. The forces of darkness are looking for every reason to make your business shrink. But as long as you are anointed, you will keep shining. Psalm 104 verse 15, it said, it is the oil that makes the face to shine. Aya, from today you shall shine. Everything concerning your destiny will shine. I feel so much anointing in the house. I say you will shine from today. I say you will shine from today. You can no longer be ignored. Clap your hands and shout, I'll shine. Clap your hands and shout, I'll keep shining. In the name of Jesus. So before the oil came upon David's life, his destiny was not very defined. Because this guy called David, he was stuck in the service of men, where he was made to take care of his father's sheep. Without the anointing, you are only limited to serve men all the days of your life. I will explain. But when the anointing came upon his life, the anointing redefined his purpose. When the oil came upon his life, the number one thing he did was that the oil translated him into the service of God to receive God's reward. The anointing translated who? David into the service of God to receive what? The reward of God. The anointing is necessary to qualify you and keep you in the service of God. Hear me carefully. In the service of men, when men employ you, they make sure that you work hard to generate profit. And out of that profit, they take a little to pay you a salary. In the season you are unable to generate profit, brother, they will lay you off. Because who should be working? Which babu should be working? Or monkey they work? But which monkey should be working? And whose profit should be given to you? That is how the service of men looks like. You must work hard and produce what? Profit. Then they give you a little of that profit as your salary. And that was the situation of David. Because David was taking care of his father's sheep. The sheep must grow. And the sheep must manage and get pregnant. And when a sheep gets pregnant, brother, it takes 5 months for it to deliver. So as the sheep is growing and is pregnant, the guy has not received salary. It's after the sheep gives birth, then they'll take one of the lambs and give it to him as salary. Brother, you'll be working for 1 year only for you to be rewarded with one lamp. That is how the service of men look like. But when the anointing came upon him, God did not give him salary. God rewarded him. Listen, the God we serve does not pay salaries. He rewards. What is salary? Salary is the money given to you in return for your work. But reward is something valuable given to you for an act. Hello? I'll explain. I think in this country, some years ago, the former president, John Mahama, rewarded a guy who helped in catching some criminals. I think they took good, a big house. The guys committed crime and they were on a motorbike. And the guy chased them with his Uber car or something and crashed them. Then the president rewarded him with what? With a house. That is not salary. For that act to help to apprehend criminals, he was rewarded with a house. That guy, I'm not sure that with his salary he can be able to buy a land at that season of his life. That's how our God is. Our God rewards. Oh my God. Our God does what? He rewards. He doesn't give salary. Praise be to God. And no one can enter into the service of God without first of all getting anointed. Being in the service of God, ladies and gentlemen, requires that you will remove and take away anything that brings shame to the name of God, the church of God, and the kingdom of God. Praise be to God. Once you are anointed and you come into the service of God, you are required to take everything that brings shame to the name of God, that brings shame to the church of God, that brings shame to the kingdom of God. So you see, David, in the day that the anointing came upon his life, God decided to redirect his steps and put him in the place of his purpose. So the father sent him to give food to his brothers at the camp where they were planning how to defeat the Philistines who were already in battle array. So when David got there, something supernatural was holding him back. The guy didn't know that he was about to shine. He did not know that he was about to step into a different dimension of his life. To him, he brought food. But on the calendar of God, he was coming into his original purpose as a giant slayer. So as he was there, he realized that something in the atmosphere agrees with what he carries. Then he heard a Goliath speaking and insulting all the soldiers that were in Israel. And no soldier from the camp of the Israel was able to face him. Then he started asking questions. What will be done for that man who killed this uncircumcised Philistines? Then the brother saw him. His their senior brother called Eliab. When Eliab saw him, Eliab was very angry. 1 Samuel 17 from verse 28. He was angry. He said, "You, I know you. You are very proud. You are very rude. You are very arrogant. Why have you left those few sheep and you are still hanging around this place?" You see, most of the times when you are in your new season, some people don't know about it. All they think they keep talking about is your past, my God. What they did not know is that you are changing levels. I'm just talking to somebody here in the sound of my voice that God is changing your level. I said, God is changing your level. The reason Eliab was angry was because when the oil came to the house, the oil missed his head. He was the one that someone almost put the oil on his head. Then God said, stop. Don't look at the outward appearance. Look into the heart, because this guy, though he looks good on the outside, when you put oil on his head, he will destroy people's lives. Already has anger problem. So when he saw David, he was very angry. But he did not know that destiny was calling David. The purpose of David was about to be hatched. David was there and he started asking questions. So when the brother was angry at him and said, "You and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and I know your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." Seeing battle, what is prideful about it? What is so prideful about coming to watch battle? Then David asked him a question. He said, "What have I done this time around?" He said, "Is there not a cause? There is a reason I am hanging around this place. I don't know why. I want to go home. But something keeps holding me back. It looks like my promotion is coming. I feel that my status is about to change from being single to getting married." He said, "There is a cause. Let me ask more questions. Let me clarify this purpose. What is this cause?" Go to verse 26. Go to verse 26. 1 Samuel 17 verse 26. He asked that, "What can be done for that man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of what? From Israel. The purpose for which David was at the battlefield and the purpose for which he was anointed by God is to take away shame that has come upon the people of God. When God anoints you, my God, what your assignment, number one assignment, is to delete, remove, take away everything that brings shame to the name of the Lord. Are you there with me? Because when you are anointed, you cannot be excited about the excesses that are in the kingdom of God. You cannot be excited about the errors that has hit families and then the church of God. When you hear it, your heart begins to break. But when you rejoice, it's a sign that you don't have oil on your life. When you have oil, you are disturbed about the current situation of the body of Christ. Are you there with him? Because the anointing will make you an intercessor, not an accuser. The anointing will make you a gatherer of souls, not a scatterer. The anointing will make you a worshiper, not a whisperer. Though I feel it right now. The anointing will make you somebody that takes away shame, not to add shame. What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Praise be to God. So that was the purpose of the anointing. To take away shame. Praise be to God. You see, it is this act that attracts the blessings. So let's look at what will be done. The reward that will be given. Take us to verse 25. Let's look at verse 25. The reward. The reward. Good. The reward is that. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will do what? Great riches. Number two, will give him his daughter. Because even the king wants to be part of the story of that young man. When it is good, bring it home. Hello? After you kill Goliath, I'll not give you someone else's daughter. Marry my own daughter. We have become family. Number three, the king will make sure that he's exempted from taxes. We have what is called spiritual tax masters. Brother, if you're not rewarded by God, no matter your wealth, this tax master, they'll come for your wealth. They'll come. Myself and my brother were talking. You know, because he's a banker, he manages the accounts of some people. He was telling me about a guy that has serious money. But the guy, they kept seeing his money coming down till they close his account. Because the guy, he will take someone's Mercedes Benz, you go and crash it. Anything he holds, the thing will collapse. He established a breakfast lunch, you know, like executive lunch on a speed test route. He closed it himself. The speed he used to open it, that same speed he used to close it. Because there are tax masters that were following his wealth. Until God blesses you, what you attract is sorrow. So it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich without adding what? Sorrow to it. This is the reward that will be given to any man that takes the assignment to perform that act in God's house. I want to show you a reward of another man who performed an act towards God. Take us to Numbers 25 from verse 7. Are you here with me? Yes. Numbers 25 from verse 7. And before this place, there was a plague more serious than COVID-19 that hit the camp of the Israelite. And it is so because the Israelites had gone to contaminate themselves with the people of Moab. The Moabites, they serve a lot of idols. They serve Baal of Peor. Then some strange idols. And so the one who gave Moab, or the king of Moab, that advice in order for them to defeat the Israelites was Balaam the prophet. Say, if you want to destroy these people, their strength is their consecration. Their strength is how they set themselves apart to serve God. So if you want their protection to be withdrawn, make the women who sacrifice to the goddess and the god of Moab to sleep with them. And let their men bring cars and come and pick the women and take them for their festivals. But when they eat their food that is sacrificed to the idols, they'll be contaminated. So when they ate and slept with them, sickness came upon the camp of the Israelites. It started dying. So the elders started praying to God, that God, help us, show us a way out. And God was not minding them. As they were praying, there's a guy called Zimri. Zimri went to pick a girl called Cosby from the camp of the Moabites and held her hand. They didn't find any place to pass. They came to pass in front of the elders that were praying. They were catwalking and entered into a tent for Zimri to enjoy the girl. Then a guy called Phinehas was angry and he took a spear and entered into the tent. So as they were in the art, he pierced the two of them together like kebab. The moment he did that, God was happy. Then the plague stopped. God said, because of what he has done, my covenant of peace is established in his life. And he said, the priesthood anointing will never depart from his life. Numbers 25 from verse 7. Let's read from verse 7. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation. How we are in church. And then they pass. And took a javelin in his hand. Verse 8. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through like kebab. The kebab is my emphasis. The man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague did what? Was stopped among the children of Israel. Please proceed. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. 10, verse 10. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel because he was zealous with my zeal among them. Another word for zealous is he was jealous towards my cause so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Verse 12. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of what? Peace. It means that this guy will never fight. This guy, he will never struggle. Anything he touches, it must work. Automatic, it must work. That was the reward for an act. Proceed, continue. Verse 13. And it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Passed as for him when he gives birth. Whether they are twins, girl or boy, they'll be pastors. Do whatever. Teach them astronomy and they'll come back from astronomy class and say, the Lord said. Say, I see in the realms of the spirit a tortoise and a flag. You begin to prophesy. No matter what you do, everlasting word, priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children. So God rewards based on an act you have done towards him. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Can I continue? So the things that come as reward, anytime we make an act towards God, God calls these things. He calls them these things. You know, when you read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these other things, the riches, the covenant of peace, marriage. Hello? You may be shocked. An act you can do towards God, a marriage door can open for you. Because when David killed Goliath, he got married for free without paying bride price. For free. I'm telling you. The guy married for free. Huh? Number two, he was no longer paying tax. Number three, he had cash. The guy had no money. Broke guy. Even the elder brother was looking at him based on the spectacle of the past, that you are a shepherd boy. But he did not know that he would be the one to be sending him to go and buy credit and come. Because when he says you don't go, you don't give him money. And the next thing is that David's location changed because now he must be in the palace. You can't marry the king's wife and be in the bush, in the wilderness. You must come to the palace. Number three, he was given the post to, number four or five, he was given the post to become the head of all the armies of Israel. He did not buy recruitment form. Why? He discovered his purpose and wrought an act. And then blessed. It looks like a gate just opened and blessings were coming. That is why nobody can say that God is biased. Listen, the blessing that God uses to reward people is like everyday opportunity. It is there. When you work it, it will work for you. When you don't work it, you think God is biased. When you see somebody prospering, check the things that they do towards God. I'm just telling you, they have touched something and God said, you, I'll prosper you for life. Ask Abraham, say, because of what you have done, anyone that curses you, I'll not send a prophet, me myself, I'll curse the person. Give the Lord praise. Romans 2:11 said, there is no favoritism in God. Acts chapter 10 verse 34. He said, now I have come to understand that God does not show partiality. You can say, God, why do you favor these people more than me? God does not favor anybody. In fact, God is no respecter of persons. That's why God can tell you. He's not afraid of you. He can tell you the truth. Me, how God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar, I fear God. Nebu had gold. He didn't know how to save his gold. He used it for a golden image. 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. King Nebu. But even him, God took him to the bush to go and chew grass. By the time I'll not even say it. Amen? So you cannot say, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. No, Romans 2:11. Said that God does not, there is no partiality with God. Amen. The opportunity is there. When Goliath was screaming, send me a man to challenge me. You know, we call it the battle of champions. There's no need for everybody in the army to fight. Elect your champion. I am the champion of the Philistine, Goliath. Once he defeats me, my people will become your slaves. It's a very simple battle. But when he speaks, the Bible said, The people of Israel and the men of Israel were dismayed. And number two, they were afraid. Their spirit left them. Because when he speaks, when Goliath speaks, they don't hear words. They hear his history. They said he has never been defeated in battle before. But here is a man who was courageous. Okay, that will take us to the second thing the anointing did for him. When the anointing came upon his life, the anointing impacted the spirit of wisdom upon him so that he will be strategic in life. Praise be to God. The anointing released what? An impartation of wisdom so that he will be what? Strategic in life. The purpose of the anointing helps you to walk in wisdom. Wisdom makes you to understand that you cannot do all things in life. So you begin to look for the things that you'll be able to do. Hello? Praise be to God. Wisdom helps you to be strategic. When you are strategic, you don't spend your giant killing, anointing, and virtue on people who don't see value in other people. Hello? Listen, when David was at the battlefield, you saw the brother provoke him. But he said in his mind, what I carry kill giants. With his left finger, he can kill the brother one time. He decided to move on. See, it's not everybody that provokes you that you must react. It's called wisdom. When you carry what is for nations, when some people are talking against you, you don't have to reply. Reply, you have made them too important. The brother came and was provoking David, provoking him. He said, what have I done this time around? Is there not a cause? So if this same brother saw that David has gone to kill Goliath, you realize that his brother would have finished him. The shadow of David would have killed him. But he has learned to preserve. See, you must begin to learn how to preserve your anointing, your power, your grace for the reward of God. If you are clapping, you clap well. Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. He did not respond to the provocation of the brother. When you are wise, You will not be in the business of pleasing people to receive the applause of men. David was confronted by his senior brother when he saw him at his place of purpose and tried reminding him that you are a shepherd boy. And he started calling him all manner of names. You are proud. You are arrogant. You are insolent. But he did not get a reaction from him. One of the reasons Jesus was able to easily defeat the devil was because John 14 verse 30. But Jesus said, the prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. The devil did all he could, but he could not get a reaction from Jesus. If Jesus gave him a reaction, he would have been distracted from his purpose. There are some things that happen to you, brother. They are distractions. Keep the anointing. Hallelujah. Amen. I say hallelujah. Amen. So he turned away. So let's read that scripture. I think 1 Samuel 17, 29. Then we'll read verse 30. Let's see the posture of David. It's something we must learn this morning. The posture. He said, and David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Verse 30. Then he turned from him. Did you see that? He turned from him. It is high time we begin to turn away from some people. I am just telling you, there are some people that are looking for fight from you. Turn away from them. Tell someone, it's high time for you to turn away. Tell them, it is time to turn away from some people. There are some people, when they are talking to you, they only remind you of your past. Your failure. They only tell you that you are a shepherd boy, and even this morning you are smelling like a sheep. You just, as if you just came from the wilderness. You are still smelling like a sheep. So, but you say your life has changed, but you are still smelling like a sheep. Those people must turn away. I'm telling you. Tell somebody I don't smell like my past. Say you can't smell it. That does not mean that I'm still in my past. Give the Lord praise. The third thing that came upon me, after the anointing, David received an activation of his warrior's instinct. When the oil came upon him, there's this warrior in David that was activated. It is the warrior's instinct that ensures the survival of David when he heard about the challenge of Goliath. Hear me? Before David came to the battlefield, and Goliath will be screaming and be calling for a challenger, all the men were hiding. Why? Because when they heard the voice of Goliath, they put into account his record. That is a guy that when you enter into a boxing ring with him, you can't survive round two. In round one, he'll give you knockout. They were considering his record. Number two, Goliath served 7 idols. So when the guy screams, you are not only hearing voice, you are hearing charms. He's sending spirits. He serves 7 idols. But when David heard his voice, the anointing on David's life stirred up the warrior in him. Every warrior has 2 instincts. Number 1, courage. Number 2, boldness. Listen. David was going to the battle without a sword. He looked at Goliath. He stirred up courage in him. Picked up his boldness and said, you come against me with sword. You come against me with spear and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord. Then he said, today God has given you into my hands. I will strike you and cut off your head. A man without sword, a man without sword is already cutting off the head of someone. That's how you need to be courageous. People who are anointed are not timid people. We have 2 elements. We are lions and lambs at the same time. The fact that you see me cool today, that's not me. I don't have my lion side. It's because you've not stepped on my toes. When you step out. Amen. There was a warrior in him, but the oil, may the oil of God activate the warrior in you. May the anointing of God activate the warrior in you. In the name of Jesus. without a sword. He was holding stone and sling. He looked at the guy and said, I'll strike you and cut off your head. If I was Goliath, I'll go home. Goliath, Bible said, the next thing Goliath did was to curse David with the seven gods. Then he changed the battle. Because once you invoke the supernatural, the God of David must also come and stand by him. That's how he was defeated. Are you there with me? What you need in this season, when the oil comes on you, you need to be courageous. You need to pick up boldness. Listen, the reason the Goliath is not coming down is not because you are not anointed. You are anointed, but you don't have courage. You are afraid you will fail. You are afraid people will laugh at you. You are afraid that you go down. But I'm just telling you, you cannot go down. I'm just telling you, you cannot be defeated. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering in this place. So when David heard the voice of Goliath, he refused to be afraid of the size of Goliath. He refused to be intimidated by his history. He was determined to make a new history. I'm looking at people this morning who make new histories in their family. I see you breaking old records. You are setting new ones. By the activation of the unction on your life, you break old barriers. You defeat giants. Any giant that has not been defeated in your family, but the anointing coming upon you, you defeat that giant. You defeat the giant of sickness, of poverty, of non-achievement. Those giants are coming down. The giant of divorce is coming down. The giant of childlessness is coming down. The giant of non-achievement is coming down. The giant of disappointment, denials, and delay is coming down. Son, I say, come down. Come down. Come down. Come down. In the name of Jesus, give the Lord praise in this place. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The reason people get afraid is because they think they are alone. I'm just telling you, you are not alone. Listen, God is behind you, in front of you, beside you, all around you. God is with you. Give the Lord praise in the house. After David won the battle against Goliath, people started celebrating him. But his celebration provoked Saul into jealousy and envy. And before long, his celebration was turned into persecution. Brother, the fact that you are anointed doesn't mean that you will not be persecuted. So Saul began to pursue him to kill him. Anointed, but he was on the run. You see, the fact that you are anointed does not mean that God has appointed you. There's a place of the appointment. We are going to look at that. Once you step into supernatural appointment, nothing pursues you, pursue things. Did you get that one? So, the fact that things are pursued doesn't mean you are not anointed. You are very anointed. Tell someone, say, I'm very, very anointed. Saul persecuted David and tried to kill him because he knew that David had won the heart of the people and they'll make him king. And so Saul was a generation before David, but instead of him to focus on governance, he has decided to kill the next generation that carries the seed of presidency. I'm telling you, the things that affect you, they are too much. If it had not been for the anointing, you would have been dead. Not only witches, but people who have gone ahead of you, they don't want you to come to where they have entered. But let God be true and every man a liar. I said, let God be true and every man a liar. Who shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass when God has not sanctioned it? Anywhere a man says you will not enter, anywhere a spirit says you will not get you, by the anointing you are getting there, I see you crossing barriers. You are entering into higher realms. Shout, I enter higher realms. Shout, I enter higher realms. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Though he was anointed, he was rejected by his own family. Look at his elder brother. He rejected him. He saw he was there when he was anointed. To hell with your anointing. He was anointed but rejected by family. He was anointed but persecuted by his own boss. The man on whose behalf he fought against Goliath, he was fighting him. He was anointed, but he was a vagabond. He didn't have a specific residential address because Saul was pursuing him. Today he hide here, tomorrow he's there. Meanwhile, he's anointed. You can be anointed and be rejected by family. You can be anointed and be persecuted by people that you are helping. You can be anointed and be a wanderer. You can be anointed and be afflicted. But the good news is that the anointed cannot be defeated. I said the anointed cannot be defeated. The anointed cannot die in the hands of his enemies. Shout and say, I am unkillable. Shout and say, I am undiable. Say, I cannot die. I cannot die. I can't. The anointed cannot fall and remain down. And when he falls, he will rise again. The Bible said, for a righteous man will fall 7 times, but he shall rise again. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers him from them all. This morning, God is lifting you up. God is lifting you up. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the enemy, my enemies and foes, came up against me to eat my flesh, they stumble and they fell. I prophesy by the anointing. Anyone coming against you, they shall stumble and fall. 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 Anyone wants to eat your flesh, drink your blood, stop your promotion, fight against your children, fight your career, I release anointing from the altar of God. Let them fall. Let them fall. 1,000 shall fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand side. It shall not come near you. They shall come against you in one way, but they shall flee before you in 7 ways. This morning I engage the anointing. I activate the anointing. I deploy the anointing. Let the enemies of your soul fall in the morning, fall at night, fall at midnight. When they rise up against you, clap your hands and say, fall, 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 fall. Give the Lord praise in this place. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. David was always on the run because Saul the king pursued him to kill him. He ran into a cave. The name of the cave is Adullam. And when he entered into that cave, he saw 400 men. And these 400, the Bible said they were in 3 categories. A part of them were men who were distressed. A man who is in distress is a man full of pain, full of sorrow, full of hardship. Another group of the 400 were men that were in debt. You see, they have formed an association in the cave of Adullam. Maybe you have never owed money before, but owing is not good. It can make you hide. When you have an opinion in a meeting, because the person you are owing is around, you write it in the form of a WhatsApp text and send it on a group page. You are afraid to talk. Number 3 were men who were discontented. It means that there's no happiness in their lives. No matter the joke you crack, they cannot laugh. Because their problems are more than jokes put together. He entered into the cave of Adullam and 400 men, distress, in debt, discontented, were there. The moment David entered into the cave, they caught him and said, you'll be our leader. You see, in one place, you are pursued. But in another place, you are made a king. Listen, I'm just telling you that it is not over for you. It is true. These people are in debt. These people are discontented. These people are distressed, but the anointing you carry, it will transform their lives. No wonder these 400 men became the mighty men of David. They became politicians. They became soldiers. Some of them became pastors. Even his seer. What's his name, Kra? David Siano. If you don't mention his name. Amen? Oh, that's just by the way. The seer of David was from that cave. His bodyguard. Huh? Was from that cave. Joab, his commander. He was part of, he was either a distressed man, a man that is in debt. I suspect that he'll be a man in debt. Get my point. All of them came from that cave of Adullam. He became their leader. That was not all. Saul was still pursuing him to a point that now David had to go and hide himself with the Philistines, the people whose champion he has killed. So when he entered into the land of the Philistines, there was a king called Achish. When David was brought to Achish, the king, the Bible said that because he was afraid he would die, he started behaving like a madman. David started allowing his saliva to pass through his beard. Then he was using his finger to write on the gate. Why? He had seen madness before when he was playing the harp for Saul the king. So he saw how Saul was behaving. So he learned that skill for survival. Brother, this is an anointed man, but he was behaving like a madman. So the king said, oh, take him away from this place. Well, how, what can I do with a man? When they were going, he said, I almost died, though. He was anointed, but the guy almost died. Why? Because he was not in his place of appointment yet. The fact that you are going through the things you are going through does not mean you are not anointed. A whole David has to behave like a madman to escape the sword. Saul was still pursuing him. So the Philistines now decided to give him a place called Ziklag. So when David got there, then he started getting married. He married one woman, Ahionam. Then he married Abigail, two wives. Then he started giving birth. So the 400 men that were with him, 200 men have now added. They are now 600 men. And they started forming a family in Ziklag. So one day the Philistines decided to fight against the Israelites. David joined the Philistines. You see, because of persecution, he has joined his former enemy to fight his former friends. So one of the captains said, no, David, you go back home. You are part of us, but I don't trust you to be with us at the battle. What if you start killing us from the back? So they allowed David to go home. So on his way home, he realized that his city, Ziklag, was set ablaze. When he got close, his city was burned. His wife, his children, everything he was able to accumulate in life was taken from the city. Then the men that were with him, who came from the cave of Adullam, and the other 200 men, they all started crying. Bible said they cried till they had no power to weep. Because what is the point? The thing that you love is the reason you go out there to fight wars. The reason you are struggling and hustling is to come back and feed what you love. But you go out there and you come back and the thing is no more. What is the point? They started crying. When they started crying, and because the men were so grieved, all of them picked stones to stone David. He said, it's because of you. If you allowed us to be in the cave, no one will come for our wives. So the Bible said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. You see, when you are an anointed person, so all the calls that come from your siblings and your parents and the people that are around you, they are all calling you to draw from you. Sometimes you feel like giving up. What is all these things? When you wake up in the morning, you are afraid that your phone will ring because someone will ask for money. Someone will ask for help. Someone will ask for assistance. Hello? You must, when they call you and they are crying, then you're also crying. So, why are you crying? So, I'm joining you to cry. The reason they call you is because they see strength in you. They see that as for you, you can put things together. Tell somebody, it is time to lean on the anointing. Tell the person, it is time to lean on the anointing. So when they were crying, they picked stones. And in their case, they only lost one wife. But David had two wives. That means that what is happening to you is even more than what is happening to them. Because for you to love two wives, it means that your love is double. They only lost one. He lost two. But he's the one they were going to stone. So when he strengthened himself in the Lord, then he asked for the ephod. Ephod is the garment the priest wear before they enter into the Holy of Holies. On the ephod, there are a lot of gemstones, the topaz, the sapphire, according to the tribe of Israel. Then there is the Urim and Thummim. Urim is white, the Thummim is black. And normally, they use it for divination. Alright? So, you can enter into God's presence. When God speaks to you, you ask him questions. and it is a yes, then the Urim will turn white as if it's blinking. That means that God has said yes. But when the Tamin is becoming black, it means that God is saying no. In those days, the voice of God is heard in three ways: through the Urim, through dreams, and through the prophets. All right? So, but in our days, we hear God through the word of God. As I'm preaching God's word, God is using the word to talk to someone differently. Someone is hearing something that I'm not even saying, because God is talking to the person. Then through dreams, through visions, all right? Then through prophets. So prophets, the word, visions, dreams, and trances. Trance is when you are not asleep, you are not awake, and you are seeing things beyond the natural. So God speaks through all this medium. So in those days, God speaks through the Urim, the prophets, and which one again? Dreams. All right. So it was not time for dreams. So David couldn't go and sleep. So this time around, he needed an effort to enter into the Holy of Holies. So he went to talk to God. He said, "Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake this troop?" Then God spoke to him and said, you remember, David was a prophet. So he could hear God's voice. And he was using the Urim as well. So God said, "Pursue, overtake, and without fail, recover all." So with that word, he spoke to the guys with the stones in their hands. He said, "God said we should pursue them." They dropped the stones and they followed him. All that people are looking from you is your leadership. Hello? Your leadership. You need to put yourself together in this, because people have asked you questions. It's not that questions will be coming. People have leaned on you, but people are now going to lean on you, brother. They are going to lean on you for strength. That is why you talking to God is very important. Your place of the anointing, you must not joke with it. So when he spoke to them and said, God said they should pursue, they joined him. When they got to a place, 200 of them said they were weary. So the 400 continued with him. Now, they got to another place. Then they saw a guy who looks abandoned. Now, I'm about to finish preaching. And they got close to the guy. God said they should pursue, overtake, and what? And recover all. Let me show you God's strategy of recovering all in life. So they met this particular guy who was alone. So they went to the guy. They realized that the guy's not eating for some days. So David gave him food, gave him drink. After the guy ate and he regained his strength, they began asking him a question, that, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Oh, I'm an Egyptian and I was part of the Amalekites. And we raided some cities around. And we even went to Ziklag to burn that place." He said, "I'm a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite. And my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick." It means that they raided that place 3 days. No, they left Ziklag for 3 days. But his master abandoned him because the guy was sick. When David came, David used the key of kindness. Kindness. When he was kind to the guy, we made an invasion of the southern part. This is after he has finished eating, so he's giving details now. Of the territory which belongs to Judah and the southern area of Caleb. And we burned what? Ziklag with fire. 15. And David said to him, "Can you take me down to this troop?" Because he's the only one who can show the way. I'm telling you that in the season of recovery, one thing you must learn to do is to be kind. Listen, be kind to everybody. Be kind in your words. When someone dresses good and is good, don't say it in your head. Tell the person, "You look good." You may never know. Just that statement, it can open a door for you. Be kind. Look for opportunities to be kind. If someone tells you his dream and you can't do anything about it, at least encourage them. But when they make it, they'll remember you that you were the one who encouraged them to continue fighting. If you can't give money, you can give encouragement. Be kind. Be kind. I was talking to MB yesterday about a man that in 2012, I was a research consultant in the company I was working with, and we're in Tamale. You see, he was not kind to that man. He crippled my trust in that man. It took me many years to recover. Even sometimes when I'm listening to the man's song, still. the thing comes on my eyes. I'm seeing through the man's eyes, seeing a girl coming out from his room. You see, the way you can be kind to that man, when you saw him doing that, go to him and say, "Sir, I know you. You are a gospel artist. Stop doing this. Stop it. The next time you do it, me myself, I'll expose you. At least, you may never know. You'll be the only one to say that for him to change. For you know, when he gets close to you, he realizes that he's not the one. It's possible. Are you there with me? That is how people destroy people, I'm telling you. Kindness. Kindness. Hello? Be kind. For you to recover in life, be kind to everybody. That guy was just a servant. He was an Egyptian. He was an Amalekite. And he had a master. He was the key to the recovery of David. So the Bible said, David recovered all. He took everything that the Amalekite took, and even took extra. And the key was not a prophet. The key was not a president. It was a hungry boy. Sometimes the person you are feeding your future. The person you are giving a second chance to, you are giving a second chance to your future. It's, oh, man of God, you don't know the world has become anyway. You believe you are a good person, there's another good person out there. We stand here today because people gave us chances. Give the Lord praise. Amen. Be kind. Be kind. I can use this, the kindness part, to preach another sermon. But our time is fast spent. Be kind. So it was this guy who showed, he took them and said, "They are dead." He just have to point. And when David and Co got there, the Amalekites were drunk and they were dancing. So overpowering them was easy. They took all the things that belonged to them. Now the people who almost stoned them are now happy. I'm saying God is going to restore you in this season. You are going to recover everything in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. One time, I think it was when we started fresh, there's a lady who said, "Pastor, I'll not come to church." I said, "Why?" He said, "When I come, I'm not seeing the men that I may marry." I said, Oh, no. I'm just telling you a practical way. You don't know. Oh, why are you laughing? Mr. Freeman, why are you laughing? Then I told her, I said, the man you can marry, somebody you know in the church can have a brother, can have a friend, and you'll be recommended. Hello? Oh. I can have a friend, and as I'm checking you out, I'm checking you out for my friend. So your smile to me, it matters. Because you don't see any guy around, you front to everybody. You are front to your own future. Because when my friend asked me, "Oh, I saw that lady." I said, no, please don't go there. He said, "She'll front your marriage. She'll front your marriage forever." Are you there with me? Be kind. Be kind. Praise be to God. It is time to recover all. Please lift up your right hand. Shout, "I recover all." For the second time. The third time. In the name of Jesus. The prayer we are going to pray, Psalm 92 verse 10. You're going to tell God to anoint you with fresh oil. As you say this prayer, the angels of God will pour fresh oil on your life. He said, "But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil." Verse 11. When fresh oil comes upon your life, the number one thing that happens is that your eye begins to see your desire on your enemies. Your ears hear your desire on the wicked who rise up against you. And verse 12. Then you begin to flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. He said, he anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. Your cup will not run over until oil comes upon your head. Say, my father, locate me with fresh oil. In the name of Jesus, let it come upon my life. Go ahead and pray. Let fresh oil come upon you. Let fresh oil come upon you. Let fresh oil come upon you. Go ahead and pray. Kibandolo mosataya. Ipolobobo shatonomoye. Atu atalia sataya. Itoma katea. Aba sukabandosa. Ibalagadama gatemo godomo diates. Zeinde lebikiti katosa. Abarua satelia kataya. Release fresh oil, Father. Release fresh oil upon this assembly. Release fresh oil upon your people. Tu waliakate se melose balunda labaka ya dogo santa labakia tabaya atenta labata ikoprados mikanta labataya lora samba hatukete le poloko sode brekia toba masobra kadu waliaso walaifa lobasua kabe imamarada dabo sadoa lakata kratombrete Imbrason daria toto la cumba haluase y le breki alto balose mi codasi imbarazo akini miata atanta la mata la mata atana mata la mata atanta la mata yakata garagata garagata impolo bolo bolo release your oil Lord. We count our fresh oil, we count our fresh oil, we count our fresh oil impapa namase lovo lovo te impogotos atua palua saya Intalamata la matosa, roco pondo la mosea, imbraca tumble catoya, atalamatola maso, ayakra tocata, atombra toya, diacataya, atolamata, iprota, iprota dos, iprota dos, atonimiante, insensendelebe, a la papaya, the clouds are gathering. I see the clouds gather. There's a release of fresh oil. There's a release of fresh oil. There's a release of fresh oil. Imbobo yadose. Imbrakumba hayo. Atua pandegosia. Atula bakiatoya. Atotobato. 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 Apantakoto. Ikratotos. Italabato. Atomatoyato. Atombrakoto. Mantolebeto. Atolibiato. Sapobrakapa. Ipanagatasaka. Cry out for fresh oil. Pray for fresh oil. Cry out for fresh oil. It is coming upon your life. It will change your story. 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 Mantelebosi. Indalabosa. Malunda labasia. Lego dogo domasua. Apinda gatula bataya. Shatola bakaprandogos, levrete lemekotabedos, indalama kolabayantoya, yegodomo shatumbra kasa, ala papalagadonos, ilagragodoma soto, ayekadabrosete, imalabakadoma sonamayo, latena de lebo shataya. I see oil release on the heavens. I see oil in the hands of angels coming upon those people. I see the oil that will release your purpose. I see the oil that will give you reward. Mi mama mayonda, imama mayonde, imama riandoyo, ayegodomaso, abrakakatokato, ayegodomagodomagoda, adondolobaduwakapea, atulawakapea, atulawakapea, atulawakapea. We are anointed to recover all. We are anointed to recover all. We recover our health. We recover our properties. We recover our opportunities. We recover our graces. We recover our talent. We recover our anointing. We recover our money. We recover our open doors. We recover our traveling doors. We recover our destiny helpers. We recover everything the devil has stolen. We take back our promotion. We take back, oh my God. We take it back. 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 We give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please give the Lord a clap of it. Hallelujah.